software, analyzing the software, testing it with users. And as a matter of fact, on the last Linux hack, we did some tests with Cognitive, and we used the X server because it was fast enough. We could handle the profiles easily. We could reset it everything we wanted. What's more, I think the main point about that X for usability reasons is that it lowers the entrance barrier for usability people. And it is already quite tough to get usability into an open source project because of several reasons I don't want to discuss now. But one of them is technical reasons. And we can simply lower this money gap. And as a result, I'm very optimistic that very soon more usability people will find those projects. So that's for the moment. If you have more questions.
Okay, thanks, yeah. Maybe what you're adding is quite obvious that it's not just the usability people maybe which will benefit from having access to not only the latest leading edge code compiled last night or 2 hours ago, but also the last 2 or 3 releases. Just stay like it's very easily possible to run from 1 line to 3 or 4 concurrent sessions, and each one having a different KDE inside the window, or if you switch to this window, that you can work with different versions and KDE, we've got 2 distinct groups of contributors, the technical ones, the ones who write code and compile, and the more or less non-technical ones, those who write documentation. Sometimes, of course, they overlap, but we have people who don't compile code but write documentation, or do translations, or do artwork, or things like that. Normally, those 2 groups run versions of KDE, which are about, I guess, 6 months apart. The non-technical wait for Swissley or whoever to have their packages ready, and then probably they have to wait until it's convenient before they update their local system. And in order to run leading edge code, and if there's a bug report, they run the leading edge code. The bug report very often is about some stable release 3 months ago. What do they have to do? They have got big hard disk and they have maybe they use XMAS to start another environment, or they have to reboot into another KDE or start KDE. So it's very inconvenient for developers to verify bug reports and then also maybe to provide a fix. With that technology, everybody can connect at any time to a server which runs the version they are looking at. They don't need to have Linux on their local workstation because there are clients for Windows, there are clients for Mac. I think Jan very often works from a Mac to access the KDE usability. So
please finally start another session, and that's probably because you say that we've got 5 pre-performed packages. Whereas before, I'm not sure. Samba to have global directories shared into the remote session, and so you could exchange files between the remote server and the remote supply. This works differently because it's fission. Everybody knows fission. Who doesn't know fission? Yeah. Okay. We'll show you fish in the private session. Well, any fish, you'll see it in a few minutes or a few seconds. Just uses a local directory. And what you do is you just put some siblings into the local directory to the files you want to share. And as soon as you remove the sibling, the file doesn't share that anymore. As soon as you add the sibling, the file share, and you can see it and access it from the remote set. But you access it just by typing any fish, colon slash into the address field of Concord. And did you see what audio did you link? Now the bin directory. Currently available at my own location, because normally no
don't see the finished code here, but Pablo is doing its approval
process. The cat was compiling and still isn't.
This could have something to do with the
problems.
Yeah. Okay, maybe you are missing this demonstration for this time, and you have to come back in the next one. This demo is one of the very few ones which didn't work out when we did the back end, but it happens. So, questions?
Forgive me for my really stupid question.
That's a stupid question. I might give a stupid answer.
Can I say that the 3NX server, which is 3N3N, is also available here?
I didn't misunderstand. We used in one of the sessions we used for the purpose. In another session we didn't use it for the purpose. You don't see any difference in the last session.
So what is the difference between server and
both use the same call libraries, which are developed by a company, Motion, and in the libraries. I would say 99% of the functionality are contained. These libraries have been released about 2.5 years ago in the version 11 under the GPL from the beginning. The company had on top that makes server as a commercial server, which they sold licenses for and support. And the pure GPL version was able to be run from the command line. Peer-to-peer way, so you could create an Nextcloud and run a session. But it was very complicated. You needed to start different executables, scripts in the right order, the right parameters. And what the 3NX server does is optimize that with a set of scripts. Basically, the current version is a set of bash scripts, which run the machine libraries executables either way, so they form an NX server. NX basically is a set of is a proxy system which runs on the client side and on the server side, and which optimizes the X11 protocol.
Okay, just turn down. I just started passing through the presentation. Here we have the local Twitter. It's a panel which could probably set up somewhere. And here you can see the private settings of this printer. And now we look into our remote session over here. And here we have just the same printer. And you can now from each KDE application, from each application, just print to them and change all driver settings, and it just works. Once we have caps running on the local machine, that was a pretty procedure for that, which was not possible. So, caps still running on your local machine, you connect to your remote machine, you can print like that.
So, there's no user interaction required at all. As long as the local machine is set up to be able to print to any printer, it can even be a CAPS printer picked up from the CAPS broadcasting, the remote course, not to sum up. So the open users are using the technology to get a more close relationship between the developments. But of course, this whole thing is also very beneficial if you just use it on a peer-to-peer basis. That if you install it on your own systems, and sometimes it's just for private use very beneficial if you travel and want to access your own environment with your own data. But also, if it's just a small group of developers working on some big project and they want to share their latest code without having a latest compiler, they could just give them access to the class and they can see how well they can do that. Once this takes off, we'll probably even adopt more use cases than we can think of now. So I'll take the last round of short questions if there are any.
Give me some idea of loading the server, how
much CPU and bandwidth and RAM does this actually use. Okay, I can't give you exact figures, but most of us are curious, but we want to push it to the limit. On that, so on one of the servers, which we saw here, it is basically the root server. Things that server is mainly used to run Apache and HTML on it, run KDE on it. And it compiles KDE with all the bug symbols. I don't know how much influence there's in that. The upper limit, if you have various concurrent sessions, I found to be 100 megabyte RAM being used for an additional session. I was told optimize that and make the whole setup for Beam and not start anything by default as this system does because it's just full compilation. It could be brought down to 40 or even lower. The same is roughly 100 megahertz of CPU power used additionally in each session. Now, of course, it depends on the type of session we have. I was looking at sessions which were using available. And just things you do in an office productivity environment, not listening to music, they promote the talent to your own speakers, which is possible is not waiting in the cars from your work. But doing just normal work uses 40 kilobits per second, like a good modem connection can provide. The only, if you use the highest compression, you will have to live with some JPEG artifacts in background pictures if you use background wallpapers. Color shading or something. You will notice that, but you will not notice pixelization of fonts or artifacts in fonts because fonts are. So I hope we could say maybe in a few weeks or months when we have done more research that it's 40 megabytes of RAM, 40 megahertz of CPU, and 40 kilobits of bandwidth, and you can scale that up to KDE sessions. If everybody uses the same environment, so it's which are looking into RAM and share. But I'm very, very confident that we can do a lot better than Citrix and Windows Terminal servers. They scale up to 100 sessions per machine, independent of how many CPUs that machine has. Probably that's a limit of how handles and process IPs or whatever. So what they do is, you know, Yeah, we just had so many sessions on hardware, and we have so much better than the recent sessions.
Well, while you were asking this question, I am prepared with more surprise for you.
For me?
For you and the audience. This mention where we are actually already locked in is in my university. And it's a machine where I definitely don't have full access. But I can still use the complete Phoenix technology with all features, suspension, view, and so on. It's just a matter of transferring one directory, which is, well, 12 megabytes, and compressed. And this directory is pretty generic. It just needs to remain in the home directory called NX.user mode. The second thing I did was edit, change one binary in the commercial client, edit, rename the normal NXFFH binary to NXFFH oric, and download the wrapper, which was explicitly in the LVE release. And this NXFH user mode, I'm pointing to the sum link to it. And when I do this, I can, I just show it again at the client. I'm starting at the client. And here I have completely bogus data inserted. And here I put my username inside the host name. This is quite a hack because the client just does port connecting via a central user which needs root access to set it up. And if you do it like that and put the wrapper on, then you can just connect like normal. And you're asked for the real password by SSH. This means also that all public key setups and whatever you have for authentication normally with SSH just work. Normally I would be asked this is a nice SSH master class, but as I've started from the command line, it's asking you the command line. And then it's I can just use the normal client. And this really now is kind of a peer-to-peer setup because I can use an action and I can use it easily on a machine where I don't have full access.
Okay, normally to install Phoenix server you need to boot so, and this new user mode NX allows you, if you have got an account on some machine and if you are allowed to access your home directory and copy files to your home directory, you're allowed to SSH into that machine, make the machine as it be, you can run NX sessions by just uploading a tar file, extract it, and modify the NX client the way the file that I showed you. So this was probably the world's first shown in public now with NX technology.
I have a feature request. That is currently it's quite a hassle to set up in the user, and first you have to set it up a regular local user, and after that an NX user. Does that have anything to do with this position? Like
that's just the setup on the machine. We can change that. We can discuss it well how you want it, and then we can.
Like it's kind of the idea of, for example, giving journalists a quick access to a current PDB might be interesting in like a guest account without much future rights.
We need to define the profile in here for the journalist profile actually. So journalists can connect and do a lot of damage. Okay. Thank you very much, Fabian. Thank you for coming.
ahí
que no está, que tiene que cerrar el admin de manera limpia.